that hurt your feelings. So it's kind of limiting the amount of suffering that a person can experience all different ways. You're someone who's friend, and not your friend. I taught first and second grade for 4 years, and I was amazed at, you know, all the distress that these little children would experience. Well, the teacher won't understand that. So it can be very difficult in terms of navigating happiness and distress. But you know, the universe not just spices to come through. You can sit with them for a minute. Shitoshi is super difficult. And the translation says, parents of happiness and distress, and their disappearance and decrease, and that they pay for disappearance of the return of some seasons. Which are linked to retirement without being disturbed. So the question is, how do we do that? How do we become undisturbed when something like that happens? When our bodies are very sick. We live in a big community, so we know devotees have been ill from cancer, Parkinson's, so many different diseases that devotees have, and some of them passed away. So how do we become transcendental to that? If someone says something terrible about you, and someone else told you about that, how do you become transcendental to that? Well, there are a few examples of transcendental personalities just by looking at the database. Prabhupada was talking to some of his disciples about a personality named Socrates. Does anybody know who Socrates is? Anybody know who that is? Go ahead. Do you want to see?
Socrates is a famous Greek philosopher.
Yeah.
Now, the Socratic method came from this, where you ask questions.
Socrates is a Greek philosopher. Actually, there's some evidence that he went to India. I won't tell the whole story. I don't want to sneak preview. So then, he had developed the Socratic method for philosophical inquiry, where it was a question and same thing with Sukadeva Goswami and Maharaj Pariksit. So, on the same track.
So Socrates, he was a great philosopher. In fact, in his time, he had someone who was called the Oracle of Delphi. And there was a high priestess, and it was said that she was spoken to by the sun god, by Apollo. And thus she was able to answer any question completely accurately. So one of Socrates is going through a lot of trouble because they called him a gadfly. Does anyone know what a gadfly is? A gadfly is like a fly that will bite the horse and then stab the horse and the horse will just take off. So he was actually nicknamed the gadfly of Athens because his speech would imitate a lot of people, what he had to say, because he was speaking the truth, and guess what? A lot of people don't really want to hear the truth. Like maybe you have an experience if you go on a psychic town or telling someone that isn't so. They don't want to hear, don't eat meat, finish your egg, you don't have sex outside of marriage, don't gamble. They're not really interested in that. So Socrates, he was a gadfly of Athens. So his friend, he went to this oracle at Delphi and he asked, who is the wisest person in Athens? Who is the wisest person? And so the oracle said, it is Socrates. And his friend told Socrates that. Socrates said, I'm totally not the wisest person. So he decided he would go around and he would talk to people he considered to be the wisest and find out who the wisest. So he started with one, went to another. And what he found is that even though they were wise, they were very proud of their memory. And they were very puffed up. And Socrates, he knew that was a fault. And so he realized that he became the wisest person due to default, because he wasn't proud. He knew that he was very humble, he was very insignificant. So for that reason, he was a racist person. But he was sentenced to death because he was preaching basically about the Torah. And when he was in court in front of the judge, he was talking about the Torah. And so he was sentenced. One second, give me a special. And don't forget, okay? Don't forget what I'm saying. So the judge asked him, how do you want to be killed? How do you want to be entombed? And Socrates said, we're going to have to catch him first. And he says, but I'm not the body. You think you would ever want the body? I'm the soul. So probably actually he was a grand leader. He had so much knowledge that he didn't realize that he was in the body and he wasn't afraid of dying. So they gave him some liquor, a drink, and then he moved on. That's all. So what were you going to say? Socrates, I think, they call him the God Fairy of Athens. Is that your name?
Yeah.
That's right. So this is an example of someone who was able to demonstrate some treasure of quality of not being attached to violence. So, because basically, all of our miseries come from being attached to the ill, the cold, or somebody at the foot. How many people hurt their foot from something? So many. All of so many things are attached to the body, or the mind. You know, the mind is bothering you. You're in class, and you're tired, and your teacher keeps talking, and you got in trouble for something you didn't do. I can remember way back when you guys in third grade. And I still remember the boy's name, Gerald Brown, and he sat next to me. And he'd make funny faces all day long. And I tried not to look at him, but I did look at him, and I started laughing. And immediately the teacher, Mrs. Wilson, she said, all right, you're going to be the third grade. And I was like, oh, no, I'm going to be the third. She had to come after school instead of the school. So it was very traumatic and humiliating for me. So many things happen to us in our lives, but we have to think what the solution is. So it says here, this divine energy of mind is very difficult to overcome. The first is surrendering to me, they can overcome it. So there's another story about devotee in Chichiketu. And this devotee in Chichiketu, he was very, very intelligent, very realized. And he was in an airplane, and he was with some of his friends in female concerts, and he looked down, and he saw Lord Shiva and Parvati. And it just so happened that there was a group of sages around him, but Parvati was sitting on Lord Shiva's lap, and Lord Shiva had his arm around Parvati. And so Chichiketu said, oh, Parvati, look at you, look at the sages, look at him. He's like, he's showing his affection. And Lord Shiva, he didn't care. It just went right off the back of his back. It didn't bother him. Parvati, she liked that. She thought that was pretty rude. Chichiketu didn't make that comment. So, does anybody know what she did? Yes. She cursed him to become a demon, and that demon's name is Vitasura. So there's a lot of potential here for a lot of trouble. Chichiketu could have cursed Parvati in return. You remember the Daksha and that who was saying that. It was like, I curse you, and I kind of curse you, right? And it's really funny when you hear that tape. I curse you to do that, I curse you. But that's not what happened. Chichiketu, he thought about it, and he thought, you know what? I don't really deserve to be punished for that. But it's happening. It's happening to me. So I'm just gonna take it. I'm just gonna handle it because it's divinely ordained. It's happening. It does not happen for this class. It's happening for a special reason. So I'm just going to accept it. So he did. And of course, in his next lifetime, he became Vitasura. But at the end of that life, he went back to Brahma. And it's explained that sometimes, actually, devotees Now, this is a hard one for me. You know, because it says that actually the believers don't suffer. They do not suffer. They just accept everything as the mercy of the Lord, which is what Chichikatu did. And it says that Krishna actually wanted to bring Chichikatu home quickly. He missed him. He missed his association. So he set this whole bundle of difficulty down just so he could get purified and go back home back to Bangalore. So it's hard to know why something is happening to me. It may be because, of course, a big part of it is that, you know, whatever sinful activity we've committed in our past lives, our last life, and after before, like before that, 100 lives ago, it could be something like that. Although, it is explained that when the devotee took shelter of Krishna, that isn't the case anymore. That Krishna protects that devotee, and he no longer suffers from actions because he's engaged in devotion service. And maybe you've noticed that. Maybe there's something really bothering you, super, you know, just on your mind, but when you come to school and you get involved in, you know, chanting Bhagavad Gita, or it's at a Lakshmi festival, and you come to some lunch, come to the kitchen, all of a sudden, you forget all your troubles. So that's an indication of pure devotion service. When you are engaged for pure devotion service, one of the symptoms is that your suffering diminishes. And that is one of the reasons that we engage in pure devotion service. That and the fact that we're practicing for our next birth, because in our next birth we're hoping to just go back and back to God, and that's what they do. Like, if you want to become a carpenter, what do you have to do? You want to become a carpenter. What do you have to do?
You have to practice.
You might become an apprentice to another carpenter. He shows you how to cut the wood. He shows you how to, you know, sand it, how to stain it, how to put it together. If you want to become a cook, what do you have to do? What do you have to do? Again, you become trained by someone who's a good cook. Just like Mother Lemon, she wrote this incredible cookbook. But first of all, she learned from anybody she could. She learned from Prabhupada, she learned from Prabhupada's sister. She learned from different people in India. And she became an expert cook. So we serve, we want to go back to Dharma. And we want to serve Krishna personally. Is there anybody who doesn't want to do that? Okay, yeah, I want to do that. But somebody asked, can you help me make one? Oh, I'm sorry, I can't. I have to go do something else. There's a TV program, or whatever, I'm going to go play a computer game. No, we have to be serious. If we want to go back and back together, we have to really take seriously learning how to serve Krishna. And of course, it's not always easy. Like there's the Pandavas. And the Pandavas, who could be closer to Krishna than the Pandavas, except for maybe even rather than me, and how crazy they are. But they were very close. Krishna was proud of the Pandavas family. But look what happened to the Pandavas. The Pandavas, they went through so much suffering. So Prabhupada says, when he's talking about this, he says, yes, becoming a devotee doesn't mean that you're not going to suffer. It doesn't mean that. When suffering's for the Pandavas, it's what you're going to do with that. How you're going to understand that suffering, how you're going to react to that suffering. Prabhupada says that the secret to success, remember what the secret to success is? The secret to success is accepting that as Krishna's mercy. Wow, thank you, Krishna. Thank you for that memory. Thank you for that miserable experience I had. Because you know it really happened. You may have already experienced it on your own. But you give us something horrible, but when you look back on it, you think, wow, that was a time when I really took shelter of Krishna. You know, that I had to, I didn't have any choice. And there's an example of Gajendra the elephant. What was happening with Gajendra? What was he facing? Yes. Right, Gajendra was in the water, the crocodile came up, he grabbed his leg. And it basically says that they were fighting for hundreds of years. But the crocodile had an advantage. What was the advantage the crocodile had? he's used to the normal, right, Christopher? He's used to that. So he started noticing the gender, he's becoming a little weaker, and a little weaker as time goes on, and he realized it, that the crocodile was gaining on him, and he was starting to feel weak. So a very weak and very feeble voice, soft voice, he is praying to the Lord. Please help me. And he's glorifying the Lord at the same time. You're so wonderful, you're so beautiful, you're so powerful. Out of all the occurrences, I need to think of it, will you please help me? And Srila Prabhupada also makes the comment that when we pray, when we're in a difficult situation, and we pray to Krishna to help, then he does, he listens, and he helps. Now, I was in the way they want to help, they don't help. So what happened? What happened when the gender prayed to Krishna? What happened? Yes, ma'am. Okay, he came, and he looked at the gender. So, that is, these are the examples, yes. He was, yeah. I think his name was William. Yeah, so he also took his original family. The examples are there for us to remember and to follow when we're having a difficult time, because guess what? There's nobody that's going to go out of your mouth, right? That's the way we're going to go out of your mouth, you know, because we're all going to die sometime, and we don't know when. We don't know when, so we want to be ready, we want to prepare ourselves. This is the idea of Krishna consciousness. Some people might say, oh, you're just being pessimistic, you're just being negative. But no, we're just being realistic. That's part of life. There's another story about a devotee named Bhavananda. And Bhavananda, he was born in a family, so he was trained up in the Krishna consciousness. But as time went on, he became, due to bad association actually, he becomes a little degraded, contaminated, and he starts associating with low-class women. And Prabhupada really gets into that point about association, saying how important it is. That's probably the most important point in our lives is we associate with the women. We don't associate with people who can lead us astray, who give us bad instruction. Yes. What? Okay, so there's special cases, right? Other special cases. But in general, if it's, okay, let me qualify that. Anyone who becomes, who's actually sick, it becomes a demon, you can associate with them. They're few and far between. But, so that association is so important, and you get the right association. And you want that good association. Of course, coming to Bhagavatam class, that is good association. Within reading Bhagavatam, that is good association. There's the verse, Mastapaisa Abhadreshu, Nichim Bhagavatam Sevaya, Bhagavatam Uchim Shlopi, Bhakti Bhagavatam Nishtiki. By regular hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, rendering service to the pure devotees, all that's troublesome in the heart is practically destroyed in loving service to the glorious Lord, who is praised by transcendental songs, is established in the heart as an irrevocable fact that it won't go away. So that is our business, is becoming Krishna conscious. So this devotee Bhavananda, he was raised that way. Just like you because you perform some devotional services in your past life, you're devoted in this life. And you have a choice in this life of what you're going to do with your life. So Bhavananda Thakur, because of that association, he started hanging around with people who were degrading. And he became degrading. He became so attached to this one degrading woman that he was willing to do anything to go serve her. And there was a story that he was playing and singing, but a big storm came up. Rain and hail and winds, it was terrible. But he was so determined. And he decided he was just going to pursue anyway. He was just going to go. So he comes to a river, a raging river, there's branches in the rivers, and he thinks, okay, I'm gonna hop on this log and I'll cross the river. He hopped on it, actually wasn't a log. Do you know what it was?
A corpse.
With a dead body, yeah. Well, that's one way to cross the river. So he crosses the body. He crosses the river on a dead body. He gets across. And there's a rod. He doesn't want to get across the rope. And he sees a snake. He thinks it's a rope. He grabs onto the snake and he gets himself over the rod. Of course, the woman is thinking he's not going to come because there's too big of a stone. So he knocks at the door. And she's like, I can't believe you're here. How in the world were you able to get here? And so he goes to the whole story. Well, it was difficult. I had to cross the river, but I crossed the dead body. I couldn't cross the wall, but I held on to the snake and I got over the wall. And she's like shaking her head. Just think, if you'd be pursuing Krishna with such determination, then it would be so successful. And the amazing thing, at that time, when she said that, after he'd been through, something clicked. And he was like, he remembered his past, remembered his past upbringing. He remembered the purpose of his life. So he was like, oh my God. And he left. And he picked up where he left off. And of course, that's what we all do. We pick up where we left off. Remember, in your last lines, you might have been very close to perfecting your life, but somehow you left your body, and here you are again pursuing it. So we always want to think, well, in this life, I want to be able to perfect it. I want to be able to perfect this life, and then I can go to Godhead. So that is what the Bhagavad did. Actually, this is very interesting. What happened is, he was determined, but again, he saw some beautiful women, and he was following her. So much so that the woman was like, to her husband, that man is following me. Mm-hmm. So what happened ultimately, Govinda, when he realized he was following the same path, he asked the woman for her hatpins. And hatpins are long, long pins. Do you want me to hear the hatpins? Go ahead, by the chain. What did he do? Okay, does anybody know what he did with the hatpin? Yes. He kept his eyes on. He was so disgusted with himself for always having this attraction that he kept his eyes on. And the amazing thing that Prabhupada says in one of his footnotes is that, and this is on the same train that devotees don't always experience a reaction because of previous sinful activity, that sometimes, because Krishna knows the kind of enjoyment, you know, that our senses are attracted to, that he gives us a special punishment just to help us wipe out that propensity to enjoy. So that's what he did with the temple. That's what he does with us on so many occasions. So we have to really, we have to pray for Krishna's mercy. We have to pray to become purified. Just like, purification will become difficult. Srila Prabhupada talks about tapasya. In this world, there's so much tapasya. Maybe you don't want to go to Bhagavad Gita class, but your teacher says you have to go. But when you go, you become purified. Or, even you're sick, that's a certain kind of purification. Or someone close to you leaves their body, that's a certain kind of purification. And if we understand that and we accept that, then we can hasten our journey back to God. We can understand that everything happens because Krishna wants to bring us home. Sometimes he wants to bring us home really quickly, and that's why something may happen to us. It seems like, why, I know myself, there was an occasion when I thought, Krishna, why did you do this? Even feeling a little angry at Krishna, how could this happen? Has anybody here ever been angry at Krishna besides me? Okay, there's a few people who have that experience. But why did this have to happen? But Prabhupada says, a devotee who doesn't become, and somebody told me this when I was feeling angry, because I confided in him that I was angry at Krishna, and he said, you know what? Everyone never becomes angry at Krishna. So I felt a little embarrassed, that I got angry. It was food for thought. But, man. This is the recipe to become closer to Krishna. If we can embrace that difficulty, we can embrace that and understand it's Krishna's mercy. And even when we're going through something difficult, we can understand that Krishna's going to give us some mercy. Just like Brahmananda, he got some mercy. Chitrakirti, he got some mercy. He had to take birth as a demon, but then that was it. He went back home back to Godhead. So this is our situation. We want to take hold of the rope. Like Prabhupada's telling the story with some of his disciples. He's saying, you know, if you have a physical, and let's say you have diabetes, and you go to the doctor, and the doctor says, all right, you need to stop taking sugar, you need to start taking these insulin shots. If you don't, you're going to be fine. But the person, they don't care. And I've actually seen this happen. I know some of the diabetes, they didn't stop drinking soda pop, which was one of their things for you, and they did die prematurely. So the problem is, what can you do? If the doctor gives you a prescription and tells you what to do to cure the disease, and you don't follow it, what can be done? Because so similarly, if someone's in a well, and they're drowning, and they're like, help, help, please, somebody help me. And someone goes over there, and they drop their rope down the well, and say, grab under the rope, grab under the rope, I'll pick you up out of the well. And they won't do it. What can we do? What can we do? Nothing. So we have the prescription. We know what to do to go back and back to Godhead. We know the principles that we should follow. We know about choosing our Krishna. But if we don't want to do it, we have to learn another way. And sometimes the way is, and I'll give you an example, I'm not generally in favor of physical punishment. When I was in Hawaii, the temple was in a place where there was a window outside and there was a corner, so people would come around that corner pretty fast. And my son ran away, is he here? Uh-oh, where is that? Okay, there he is. He was like 3 hours and he ran out in the street. And I went out and grabbed him and I spanked him. Why did I spank him? Did he mean? No, why did I spank him? Somebody tell me, why did I spank him? Right, so I didn't want to ever do it again. I did it to save his life. I did it to save his life because he could have gotten killed when he ran out in the street. So Krishna gives us certain punishments, certain difficult tests to save our lives. Just basically, we want to save our lives, to give us our spiritual life back. So if we understand that, then we'll be able to move on. We have to follow the instructions of the doctor. Even though it appears to be a punishment, Prabhupada says it's a curative treatment to cure the vestiges of material enjoyment. We have to be satisfied by Krishna's grace. Don't blame someone else for being the issues that come. All the time, I don't like her because I don't like her, she did this. They had a party, they didn't invite me, I don't like her. You know, we don't want to blame someone else for being the issues of our karma. Our karma's coming, we don't know why, we don't know how. Just like there's a story of, how does it go with Ganga, and she drowns every one of her children, right? And her husband, it's such a situation, he's not allowed to say anything. That was one of the conditions of her marriage. No matter what she does, he can't say, don't do that, why would you do that? But after, I forget, the 6 or 7 child, newborn baby that she drowned, he was like, why do you keep drowning our children? You know, why are you doing that? I mean, I would do the same thing, why would it? But he broke the condition. And so she said, our children are about taking birth in heavenly planets. I'm going to bring them. See you later. You're right. So we don't really know what happens on the other side. After somebody dies, we don't know. All we know is that we miss that person. We don't have an association anymore. So we're sad. That's natural. We can't help but lament. You know, the grandmother, the grandfather, the brother, the sister, you know, the mother, the father, they die. We are sad. You know, the son or daughter. But we don't know on the other side as far as where they are. How do we plan it? We find out from Dr. Goddard. So then you have to think, you know. A certain amount of meditation is natural, and it's good. You know, we have to. Often we have to try to understand. The philosophy is there so we can understand, you know, what the whole picture is. So, time for the approved students to go. If there's any other discussion, it was kind of funny when I was reading about the Pandavas. Prabhupada was saying that at one point, Narada Muni came to Krishna and he's like, Krishna, the Pandavas are so dear to you, right? Krishna's yes, they're so dear to you because of that. You know, they lost your kingdom, your wife got insulted. You know, all your sons died. And then Narada Muni says, I think that we have some hypnotic power. Because what I notice is, even though you went through, they went through all this tribulation, that their love for you increased. You must have hypnotized them. How can that be? And then the story Prabhupada was talking about the very thing that was for you, because Krishna consciousness is hypnotic in a certain way, you know, because just like kirtan, you can be miserable, you know, just having a bad day, a bad whole day, a bad every day. And you come into the temple, just like the Radhasini kirtan is so out of the park, you know. Once you get into kirtan, you start chanting, and you just like an exit, you forget everything. You forget everything. So that is what the Krishna teaches us, yes. Well, then when we're talking, we became, you know, a pure devotee. We just turned right around and studied the Prabhupada and all that. And the funny thing is, when I was reading that story, I thought, can you imagine? Because of course, we see the bodies in the community and maybe ourselves. We have good times and bad times and worse times. So, if you imagine what people have been saying about a given member who's in the community, why did you get the program? Why did you do this? Why did you do that? You went to see this prostitute. You know? And of course, all of it leading up to his ultimate purification and real self-realization. So we have to be careful to be there for each other and help each other, but not be so judgmental that it keeps the devotees away. And that can happen. It has happened. We just don't feel welcome because of their past. So yeah, don't remember. Funny, right? To think of what if it was in the community, what would be the situation for them? Somebody who's going to have hard times, but they ultimately embrace it. And of course, again, Srila Prabhupada said that is the secret to success, is embracing the tribulations. Some people ask for more. I'm not in the family. I cannot do that, I try to handle it. The softballs and handles are coming to me. Any questions, comments? Yes.
I read a sentence from the purport, just a question coming from that. Bodily happiness and distress are administered by the demigod, who can never be brought under our control. Thus, one remains subject to the rules of providence and the material platform. So my question is, you see the providential arrangement, the will of providence, you see it throughout Prabhupada's book, and what is meant by that? I mean, I got different ideas, but it's an interesting phraseology. What does it mean?
Okay. What is what? If you say it again, what is it exactly?
Here it's used like this. Bodily happiness and distress are administered by the demigods, who can never be brought under control. Thus, one remains subject to the rules of providence and the material platform. In different times, Prabhupada would say, by providential arrangement.
Mm-hmm. Well, just like Chitra Kirtan, right? If you laughed. You know, when he saw what she was embracing Parvati in front of these stages, and Parvati cursed him, and of course, Lord Shiva, he indicated to her that she shouldn't have done it. It was a providential arrangement for the whole past thing to happen, right? Church of Creativity. He accepted it, right? You know, he could have retaliated, he could have come first, but he didn't. He just accepted what happened. And Prabhupada says that we should be satisfied. With Brahma Sutra, we should be satisfied with that. We do it at whatever service comes to us. You know, we're born in a physical, we have some ailment, we're born with that. We should be satisfied with that. Whatever comes our way, it's a providential arrangement. And we don't know, like when something terrible happens, sometimes that I think and I share with other people, if you knew that because of this, this was your last time in material, last life in material, would you change anything? And generally people say no, they would. So does that help?
So providence means by Krishna's arrangement?
No.
Or by...
everything is not great if it's moving, right?
That's it.
Yeah.
So it's a karma?
Well, not really for the Buddha. It's our karma, but Prabhupada makes the point that when we surrender to Krishna, that it's no longer... Well, he said two things. He said the world of fame has slowed down, and so we may be suffering minimally, but in other places he actually says... Actually, I think I have it highlighted here. Let me find it, because it's very cool. I'm not going to find the exact quote, but basically, okay, here it is. Actually, those who are Krishna conscious, they have no material suffering. Although it appears that they are suffering, they are not suffering. They can accept any so-called suffering and accept it as a mercy of Krishna. They never take it as suffering. They do not protest. Those that are, I'm such a great Lord Krishna, why have I been put into misery? Instead he thinks this is Krishna's mercy. Such an attitude is possible for a devotee who engages in the service of Krishna's representative. This is the secret of success.
Can I say one more thing?
Sure.
Okay. There's this whole sequence of verses that Prabhupada cites in his, the poem that he wrote when he came to America. Beginning with, I think it starts with Shushu Shoshana Shad and Staparishu. But then there's this 1.2.20, was established in the mind of unalloyed goodness. The man whose mind has been enlivened by contact with devotional service to the Lord, brings positive scientific knowledge of the personality of God in the stage of liberation from all material association. And then the next verse, the knot in the heart is pierced and all misgivings are cut to pieces. The chain of fruitive actions is terminated when one sees himself as master. Vishwanath Chakravarti was commentary. Well, he gives different levels of spiritual advancement, for the soul progression that's given for our spiritual advancement. And this is actually past the stage when the chain came up.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, there's still this chain of fruitive reaction continues.
Mm-hmm.
It's a corrupt karma. We don't get a new body when we start practicing pure devotional service.
Mm-hmm.
And, the subtle body, goes through major changes, but, the intellectual apparatus that we use, for doing different things is pretty much constant, it's like a blueprint. So, the point is that Krishna, Prabhupada, Gaurav Swami quotes Prabhupada saying, Krishna takes our sinful reactions and uses them to help us. So there is, like you see devotees, a lot of times they have their astrological character. Like I met my wife the day that I was an astrologer predicted that I'd be, 4 months beforehand, because the karma was so strong for that. But, I was also practicing the best I could. So there is a correlation. Like Banasana says, there's a blueprint. It comes from our previous life that we follow in life. But ultimately we see that Krishna is behind it, and he's orchestrating it specifically to help us advance.
Yes.
Yes. Also, doesn't our perspective on things change as we become more and more purified? So instead of saying, oh, we just got a token of our karma instead of a thing. So, like you were saying, there might be a blueprint or a whole perspective on how we are facing the difficulty changes. And maybe we don't react as like we normally would react if we were not Krishna conscious, you know what I mean? Getting more and more reaction and seeing, you know. Anyhow, I was thinking, even like I was cooking and Radhasthami, and I was in the kitchen all day, and I burnt myself, you know, and usually I said, well, you know, this is enough. But I was thinking, I'm just getting killed from my reaction. I was more enthused with something like that. I was more careful, but I remember a long time ago, I said, oh no, I have to take off, this is bad, I have to go take care of this woman. But, you know, now I'm thinking, this is just a token, come on, you can overcome that, you can go on to the service. You know, so I'm just saying, in your perspective change, so the karma might be there, but you're looking at it from a different point of view.
Yes,
thank
you. Hare Krishna. Thanks for such a nice class, and thank you. I thought of a question and answer that I was present for 1 year in Mayapur, but this discussion reminded me of. I just wanted to share it. Someone had asked, the understanding is that at the time of initiation, our karma is nullified, as you had mentioned, but it definitely seems that the devotees are still sometimes experiencing things that look very funny. So the devotee who was giving the class said, have you ever seen someone that's burned a newspaper? He said, sometimes you can actually, but it still keeps its same form, you can actually read some of the words. But if you touch it, it crumbles into ashes. And I just thought it was so beautiful.
Thank you.
I kind of wanted to mention this anyway, and now that it kind of seems pretty apt for what you're talking about. I'm going to be teaching a yoga class tonight at the sanctuary that talks about how asana practice helps to mitigate our stress and pain responses as they arise in life. And so I thought that was, you know, it seemed kind of relevant because there's also some physiological, you know, physiological mechanisms behind the way that yoga helps bring about a sense of peace. So. And also stuff about the chakras, which asanas charge up which chakras.
But
then
a
little less relevant, but still
that's
what
it'll
be.
Yeah, those things are definitely helpful. It's interesting that you're bringing up because there's another part where the leaders were talking about your physical ailments and the eye and what you can do. This person will fix your eye and help and says, okay, fix the eye, but our main problems are general, literal, reality, birth, death, and age. You have the problem. You can fix the eye, but there's something else that will go wrong, ultimately. You need to. Those asanas, those are good, they are good for, but ultimately, the body is miserable. It's going to have so many ailments. It's our main focus has to be on regaining a spiritual life. I remember being, I went traveling Santa from the Falkland for a while. We stopped in one city. My talk is not here, she probably went in one of the city. But this woman was talking about how all the good activities she did, it wasn't that good enough to get her back to spiritual world. And Prabhupada basically said to her, if you have a bill and you put a pin in your pocket, that's not going to do it. And that's what you're doing. If you have a bill, you have to get the pus out. You have to be aggressive. You have to get rid of this bill. And that's what we're doing with the spiritual world. It's not like just doing charity, you know, those things are all good. Of course, we're doing Divine Shem, which becomes extra special. But we have to, you know, we have to address the problem. We have to address the problem. So, yeah, thank you for that. Thank you.
Maybe 10 minutes.
Thank you. Okay, next.
there's about Plato, I don't know if it still is now, that it indicates the link between Indian civilization and Greek civilization. But when Socrates took Hemlock, his disciple Plato was so disgusted with the status quo in society, he went travel. And then travel saying the disciple of Pythagoras. Pythagoras is only the guy at that point. But they're not the disciples. And if you heard from them, and they were so impressed by their knowledge, he asked them, where did your guru get his information from? How can he still learn it? And their reply was that he came in contact with a group of men who referred to as Jim Osiphor. Jim was half naked, and Osiphor was philosopher. And he said, these gymnastics came from the east. They were long cuts and they carried a dagger. So I'd just like to have any evidence of that Vedic civilization is the source of Greek, which is the source of Western civilization. I think that's clear evidence there.
Well, it's interesting that when I was reading about Socrates, Plato was speaking everywhere from the people in the room. And I think it was the other person, but they said that Socrates, someone was going to England, so he could ask, can you bring me some holy water from the Ganges, is one thing. And the other one said, he also asked for someone to bring back the holy scriptures. Those two things that others are in the holy water and the sacred scriptures. So, and it's interesting, anyway, the whole Greek culture, because I do have that. I remember reading about that. I was so interested in it before I was a devotee, that personalness of gods and goddesses, and it was just attractive. Thank you.
Well, I had a memory that I ended this, that once in Bombay, it was a disciple, I was 7 years, but he's a nice devotee now. But he was asking Prabhupada that to teach his disciples, he's also one of the disciples from the West. He said that the devotees should understand how this chakra works, how this rasayan, different chemical works. So Prabhupada, maybe he should introduce this. The devotees should be really into this rasayan process. So Prabhupada didn't say anything. So in the beginning, they are going for a teaching program. And the driver, he's driving, but there was a little slope. And this devotee in the front, and Prabhupada in the back, and this devotee still pounding the front. And Prabhupada, I didn't hear you saying to the other devotees about this rasayana, that we need to take care of our, different yoga, different system. So the driver, all of a sudden, he felt no control on the brakes. And the car really going, he got so scared, he turned back, Prabhupada, I didn't even come here in the plate. He said, ask him what Rasayana he needs. And then he really came back, Prabhupada, wow, I didn't need, Prabhupada said, therefore, God, that old age disease. First thing is first, change Hare Krishna, and God will be focusing.
Okay. Questions? Is that Paul? Thank you so much. Yeah, you're giving back. When you're done, you're giving back.
I'll give them back.
Okay. I'm glad.